Our message is found in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at a straight gate. This is a good rhyme with the other word. Straight here means small and narrow. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way, which leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The Lord bless the reading of His sacred word. If you stand at any junction of Orchard Road, you see hundreds of people on the go, going north, east, southwest. Many, many people, many times in a jam, seeking a way out to their destination. But when Jesus looks down at the crowds, He tells us that there are only two roads. There are only two types of people, whatever their color or creed. And there are those who enter in at the wide open gate, and they go on a broad way. And then there are others, but few in number, who enter in at the small and narrow gate, and they go on a very narrow way. The first one leads to destruction, lands us finally in hell. The second one leads us to life, and happily leads us to heaven. But there is a warning that there are so few there be that enter the small and the narrow gate. This morning, so many of us are gathered here. The division is also there, but only God sees. It does not mean that because you come to church, you are now on the narrow way to salvation and life, because there are some who are here not willingly. Every one of us who comes here must make it a great delight. It is a wonderful time, the joy of worshipping our living God and Savior. But there are those whose hearts are not here. They may come here owing to parental exhortation or pressure. Whatever it may be, while you are here, but the Spirit is outside for some other engagement. And you are also looking at the watch, that we do not take even more than 5 minutes over time. But I am very careful. I always try to stop at the dot, because this is also a regular service, and it is also for us to keep the time. But you won't mind if that day the Lord is really speaking to your heart and you rejoice to receive the truth. Now, talking of broad is a way, interestingly, there is in America, in New York, a street called Broadway. Many of you have been to New York. You will have visited that place. And when I was a student, And I came to New York. I was bound to be found on the Broadway because it's the very center of the city. But it is the most famous street in the world for another reason, that it is the longest street. How many miles is it? 10 miles? That would be very long. 15 miles? No, it is 150 miles leading from Manhattan to Albany, north on the Hudson River. And along this 150 mile street, there are hundreds of side roads, side ways, side streets. The most famous is 42nd Street. There was a film called 42nd Street. And it's a Times Square where all the theaters and places of amusement are found. There is 116th Street where Columbia University is. There is 173rd Street where there is the first skyscraper church of New York. I don't say much about Wall Street, but it's very well known to you who are playing shares. It runs through the financial heartland of the city. Broadway. But the most attraction that it gives the passerby is Times Square, where the theaters are, where are the manifestations of vice and advertisement openly, of X-rated films, of peep shows, in all the side lanes, side streets, the many hidden brothels, where those will patronize, who are walking indeed on the way that is broad, and if they come to Broadway, that is exactly how it is. This morning we may not be prowling around Broadway for some nefarious purpose, but even in this church, you may be spiritually walking on Broadway to some unholy purpose. If you are smoking, drinking, gambling, womanizing, homosexuality, and the rest of it, like even vice on the internet, pornography, blue film, whatever these may be, you are walking on the way of destruction. And so it's very important for us to note this. If we go against the Lord and we live a fleshly life to our pleasure, not caring for any consequence, and sorry to say, many have imbibed the evil doctrine of evolution that we come from monkeys, apes and ape men, and then they die. Well, what does it matter? So long as I enjoy myself, even in the days of my youth, it will be a very fatal thing. But I want you not to travel on the Broadway that leads to destruction, because the end of it is hell. When I say that, there will be opposition from those that hear me, because they are walking on the Broadway. And they say, you are an out-of-date preacher. Nowadays you don't believe that. And sad to say, there are many evangelical ministers who at one time believed what the Lord has said plainly. But today they say God is love. Somehow, He will not punish us and let us go. But this is a lie that is given out by Satan. The Lord tells us the experiences of two men. One, the beggar, Lazarus, because he believed the gospel. The other, the rich man, who rejected the gospel. So when they die, the first one goes to heaven, to Abraham, and he is in the fellowship with his ancestor Abraham and very happy. The second one, the rich man, found himself awaking in Hades. The Greek word is Hades. And some people try to make a difference between Hades and hell. But the King James translates hell because there is hellfire that burns him in the torment. And he was so thirsty that he asked Abraham to send Lazarus to just give him one drop of water to allay his burning tongue. Jesus himself said this. And in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 9, verse 43 to 48, Jesus three times affirms that when you end up in Hades or hell, there will be the fire that will never be quenched, where the worms die not. Well, that's a picture of hell derived from the Hebrew valley, which was a rubbish heap where they put all the refuse of the city, including many dead cats and dogs and carcasses. And the fire is burning there all the time, and the maggots are also eating away the decomposed flesh. This is a picture of hell. And Jesus says, there is no escape from it. So Jesus kindly invites us. Straight is the gate and narrow the way, but it leads to life, he says. You may go to Orchard Road and see people going north, east, southwest, but finally there are only two roads. Either they go on the broad way or the narrow way. And he invites us to come and follow him. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you walk on my way, it may be difficult. But wonderfully, we have this song that it's not an easy road, but we have Jesus helping us. And so, to the disciples, he challenged them. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. He that will save his life will lose it, and he that will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Now that is a pretty difficult task to perform, to walk the narrow way. But Jesus said, I'll help you. And so, this morning I ask you, what road are you traveling? You may be coming here week in and week out, but you are still traveling on the Broadway. Let us decide forever. Today, I want to change over from the Broadway to the narrow way. And don't care what it may be, because Jesus is with me. Now he will lighten our load and carry us through. Well, I'm not giving a hard test, but Once we become Christians, naturally we want to obey our Lord in all His instructions to us. And I've got several applications. Whether we will answer to these requirements. The first is given in Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There are some people who say, I believe, but then they say, no need to baptize, since I believe in my heart. Why do they say these things? Because they never read the Bible. Some people do not want to baptize, perhaps not to lose face. I'm such a big person, and for me to go down there to be baptized by the pastor who's a small fellow, well, it's sort of below my dignity. And one big man also thought that it would not be good for him to baptize, but he had the idea that when I'm about to die, then I get the pastor to come and baptize me, then all my sins will be washed away, I'm sure to be saved. This man was the great Christian Emperor Constantine the Great. And he did not get baptized until he was on the deathbed. No. God's work in our heart is eternal, once for all. It covers all time. Once we believe we are baptized, then Jesus keeps on looking after us, taking care of us. And if we sin and we repent, He still forgives us. And He keeps on cleansing us day by day, moment by moment of our sins. Whosoever will confess me before men, I will confess him before my Father in heaven. Whosoever will deny me before men, I will deny him before my Father. It is to God's glory and to our own benefit that we get baptized as soon as we have received the salvation, as soon as we have found Him to be our Savior. The second thing is, once you are saved and you know the true way, you want to read His Word, the Bible. That's automatic. Before I was saved, I had no Bible. I was 15 years old. I lived in the church, and Bibles are everywhere. So I might say, well, I have the church Bible I can use. But that was not the reason. I was dead in trespasses and sin. How could I ever eat the Word of God? I was blind. I cannot read. But once we are saved, we want to read God's Word. There was one old deacon of a Baptist church. He was deacon for 40 years. This I met him on the West Coast. And he patted my back and said, young man, I tell you, I have attended 40 years of sermons without absent from one. So I know the Bible so well that I need not own one. Is that true? You are far from knowing the Word of God. The reading of the Bible is a daily lesson. Though it is hard, it must be learned. For example, there are difficult passages we don't know. In order to help the beginner, our church has the RPG, Read, Pray and Grow, notes. But that does not mean that is the end. That is to help you to study in a theological way. There are 1,189 chapters of the Bible. And if you are ambitious for God and for yourself, If you read 3 chapters and a little, you would have covered the whole Bible in 1 year. And that is what I would recommend to you. But for you to have the mentality of the old deacon of 40 years, I have no need to read the Bible, I know already. It's far from the truth. Thirdly, not only we want to read our Bible every day, and the RPG notes will help us. Attending church is a must and a first priority. You say, where does it say that we must attend church? Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but rather exhorting one another as we see the day approaching. Do you know that there is a blessing for every churchgoer every Sunday? Jesus blessed the disciples on the first Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And he breathed on them, peace be unto you. If you miss that Sunday worship, the peace of the whole week is missed. But if you come with all your heavy burdens, somehow through the worship, through the singing, such a beautiful hymn, like it is not an easy road, but Jesus takes care of us. Our burden is taken away automatically. When you praise God, all our sorrows are gone because it comes to bless us. So please don't say someone comes from the Federation, from Malaysia, so I have to oblige him and take him to Sentosa. Take him to Life Church. That is the way. You want to come and hear what God will tell us. Fourthly, we have our Tuesday night prayer meeting. A big church like us, of course there are the groups, the fellowships, the NBC, they have their own group meeting in the week and the prayer, which is very good. Yet we can improve to have more than 100 come to the Tuesday night prayer meeting. Instead of sitting at home glued to the TV, one lady told me, Pastor, I'm very sad. The TV cannot help me. She said, well, then you come to church. Another one who is a taxi driver, and he has been afflicted by some mental trouble, and he is very mixed up in himself. He came to the prayer meeting, and he said, the Lord has healed me. Many people, without asking that we pray for him specially, by coming to the prayer meeting, get healed. Because the Lord puts a premium, he puts a blessing on those where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. When you are one at home, I said, you are like scattered chapel, you lose your strength. But by coming together, we enhance. And then family prayers. How do you bring up your children? You do your uttermost to give them a good education, and you do this and do that. Take them to tuition classes, all that. But I ask the mother, did you pray? Your child is becoming more and more naughty. We need God. We need God all the time. So we need to keep on praying in all circumstances. Then we have this thing to do, that we do not come here as sitting partners. Some people say, well, I attended church. Today I heard a good sermon, and I'm going to practice. But we must not be sitting partners, but be walking and exercising partners. Some of you can very well teach Sunday school. And in fact, we should all come to the adult Sunday school class, because it's in the same trip, it's good economy. Some of you not only can join the fellowships too, teach the Sunday school and be active in the fellowship, and there are about 15 fellowships, which is the strength of Life Church, whether you're in the evangelistic band, or whether you're in the ladies' fellowship, or men's fellowship, young teens' fellowship. All these build up your faith. And one very good idea is to join mission trips, and to come along and see how the gospel is going on in another land. As we went to Myanmar, I led 8 of them, and every one of them going there became greatly enthused. And I pray for them or give them monetary gifts for a very worthy cause. And I feel very happy that we have a part on missions. And then we have the need of supporting the church. Not that the Lord needs us and He cannot help it. It is because He loves us and He would like to give us a partnership. For example, I ask some of you to say, can you join in this work? You feel very honored that the pastor has asked you to come and join. The same idea. So when we give the support of the church, we are having partnership with God, and He's delighted in what we do to help the extension of the gospel. So He blesses us too. Don't forget His promise of blessing to those who love Him. Now my 7th point. This is where Jesus says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. This is a very great demand to go into full-time service. William Burns, the grandfather of BP's, one day came to the decision. He was not saved, he got saved. And then the Lord spoke to him that you must give your whole life to serve me. And then he said that was the greatest decision he made in his life. It was a turning point of 180 degrees. And so he gave up all to follow Jesus. But he was such an effective worker for the Lord, because he truly gave himself totally to the Lord. When he went to the mission field, he gave up 1 year's salary that he would receive from the home church and turned it in to the home church. We need laborers so desperately. Well, then how did they live? They lived very simply. As wherever the Chinese villagers invited him to eat, and some of the food is not very palatable, but quite fishy, you know, when they cook the fish. He'll eat anyway. So he saved a lot of expense, and he gave it back to the church. That shows, when one is consecrated, then he can do a great deal for the Lord. I'm so happy in our church that young people, one by one, coming to tell the pastor, I'm now coming to study at FPBC, I'm now willing to go where to work for the Lord. Lately, one young lady came to see me, I'm called to Africa. I'm a nurse. She has been serving in Laos, but there is no more appointment. And she feels called, I want to give my talents to help the Africans. Don't you think that it delighted my soul? It surely. And it is not too great a sacrifice when there are others who have got greater achievement, greater attainments, and they gladly lay their life before the Lord. This is part of the narrow way. There is a price to pay, but worth it because our salvation is free. The Lord has given us. What is it that we return a little back to the Lord in His service? There are only two ways. One is a narrow one that leads to life and to heaven, and the other one a broad way. Broad and wide gate, broad and broad road. And even it goes 150 miles in the case of New York. But the end of it is destruction. On which way are you today? Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for a Savior who invites us that we must follow Him and take up the cross. To whatever extent it may be, Lord, help us to give ourselves to His service for what He has given us, in that He has given us a free salvation and we are on our way to heaven. We thank Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.